It is good to see you. That's the first of the month, so let's do the. We're going to do the birthdays recognition and anniversaries at this time. So the birthdays are as follows: Shelby Barbary, April 19th; Ricky Edwards, April the 21st; Charlene Harville, April the 22nd; Axel Louder, April 24th; Jason Linker, April 28th; Veronica Whitley, April the 30th. And did I miss anyone? All right, give me a key I can hit, okay?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And our anniversaries are Jim and Janice Hopkins, and Tim and Diane Smith. And that's April the 10th for Jim and Janice and April 29th for Tim and Diane. Congratulations. And let's give them a hand. Pastor Ed.
It is good to see you here this morning. I think we got one or two of our usual group that are sick, but you're here. And the Lord's here. And we look forward to spending some time together. God's a great God. He knows where you are spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. He knows what you need. And he's here to meet those needs. Let me pray. Father, it's good to be in your house today. Thank you for each person that's gathered here. Thank you for those that might be listening in the parking lot and others that might be listening later on the website. Father, may the same Holy Spirit that's here in this room minister to those that are in other situations, other places. And Lord, out of your wisdom and your mercy, your grace, may our needs be met. Most of all, Lord, we want to worship you and to honor you, for there is none other God but you. You're King of kings, Lord of lords, the Almighty and the Everlasting. The one who was, is, and forever will be. We join with the angels of heaven in saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We gather with the redeemed of the ages, crying out, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and majesty and power. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. We got something that, just in case you hadn't had your second cup of coffee and you're a little bit sluggish, this song we're about to sing will wake you up. I promise you that. And if it doesn't wake you up, you might ought to check them, you know, because I want you to stand up and sing with me when we all get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I'm telling you the truth. And when you get to heaven, it ain't going to be quiet. Because there'll be a bunch of you praising the Lord, won't we? So let's all sing together. When we all get to heaven, we got all four verses. And so let's sing together, okay? Let's do it.
Sing His mercy and His
I love that. That's good. Let's have a word of prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, I need to thank you for the people that you have in the house, Lord. Thank you for each and every one that are here, the ones that are here, each and every day, Lord. Prepare the week and prepare the message you have us to hear. Thank you, Skip, you the preferred monkey. Jesus, not your brother.
Let me see. This morning, good to see the smiling faces this morning that you have out there. Before I do that, I want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank Lionel and Tonda for filling in for me while I'm away. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate the job you do, and it's always good to see God's work just keeps right on going. You know what? And that's what it's all about. That's what we're here to do, is worship His name, and I praise God for that. I have some announcements I want to share with you. Today is a busy day. Today's a busy day for you at Barbie's Grove. And we're going to start off after our worship hour time today. We'll have a church council meeting. We'll be at 11. I'll try not to make that very long, I think, but we need to catch up on a couple of things. So church council, we will be meeting with you. And tonight, we'll start off with prayer time at 5 o'clock. And then our youth will have their meetings as well. Is that 5 as well, the youth meeting? Yes. V5 as well. So it'll be all started in the church. Then we'll go into adult training at 5:30, and then choir practice will be at 6:30. And as I said, it's a busy Sunday. So you could come here and pack a lunch if you want to, or a supper, and well, we could eat with the youth. Would that be that? That's not planned, though, was it? So, but anyway, we could come and have a good time together and worship together. I want to encourage the choir, if you would, please. Please make an effort to come tonight at 6:30. We're working something for Easter, and so we want you to be here for that, if you would, please. Wednesday night again, we'll have our time of Bible study in Romans. We're about to finish it up, Pastor. We won't be very much longer in the book of Romans. We'll be there. And then Jeff would like to meet with the Building and Grounds. Building and Grounds at 7:30 Wednesday. So be here for that. So. Children's activities will be next Sunday. We'll have the children will be singing for us next Sunday during the praise time. I'm looking forward to that, Miss Kathy. And I know they'll do a great job for us as well. You've got your Easter schedule times down there for Easter Sunday morning. We have a full breakfast. We got it all planned for you, sunrise. All of that. It's in the bulletin. Follow along. And I believe, Jeff, we said our cooks, 5:30 is for our cooks. Yeah, I think if y'all get here at 5:30, we'll be all right for that. So if you've never helped us cook before, that don't mean you can't come, because you can. So we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you for fellowship, if no other reason. So come if you want to do that. We'd love to have
you. If you don't come, we're going to talk about you.
Yes, that's exactly correct. So be there for that. Also, Vacation Bible School, you see that's That's also got a schedule already been done, and we thank you for those who volunteered for that, for the Bible school leadership this year. And also Annie Armstrong. Annie Armstrong, I don't want to forget that Annie Armstrong is also that. So be sure you take a part of Annie Armstrong's offering as well. You also see that here in the bulletin you have a celebration of life in memory of Scott Allen Davis. The dates are on there, so take part of that if you would, please. Have I left anything out at all?
Brother,
yes, sir, brother.
Can I address a couple of things?
You certainly can.
At 5 o'clock, we have prayer time. And I'm going to just tell you that we need everybody we can to come out and pray, because prayer changes things, and prayer will change you, but it also changes our church. And we need our church to grow. And in order to do that, we need more prayer warriors. Okay? Also, on 5:30, I guess this is going to be starting tonight, Brother Ed. It's going to be starting tonight with that. Okay. Brother Ed's going to start a series tonight on a book that Janice's wrote. It's called Satan's Wives. So y'all come out and join us for that time as well.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, Pastor. Appreciate that very, very much. And he is so right about prayer time. We all need to be sure that we are a member of the church in prayer. All right. So there's no other further announcements. Well, yes, go ahead, Kenny. All right, so the Constitution Committee will be next Sunday. The Constitution Committee meeting will be next Sunday after church, be at 11 o'clock, okay? So you members of the Constitution Committee, remember and be in your place there for that. All right, that we will go to our prayer time. I have just a couple. I've been asked to keep remembering Jay Julius. Laura, you have an update on him. I talked to him. He seems to be doing fine.
He's doing really good.
Yeah. Okay, I think he seems to be doing fine. I've got Betty Davis down, continue to remember her as she's home, and she's adjusting now to being home again, and so let's remember her. Anyone else that we need to remember this morning? Let's remember our church, as Brother Jim has already charged us this morning, Barber's Grove Church. And we need to keep remembering our youth pastor search committee.
Mm-hmm. Appreciates the cards, the calls, the visits. She just talks and talks and talks about how much she misses church and how when people keep in touch with her, just really brightens her heart. And so she told me to say that today.
Nell Jackman, and let's remember Miss Nell. She's a saint of the Lord. I remember good Miss Nell. Anyone else? Yes, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. Kenny was talking about Miss Marie, and I think Marie does need our prayers desperately for.
She also is supposed to have
cataract surgery. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Later.
Yes. Students at where?
It was just the particular student at
Fairview. Okay. Is it sick? Are they having some sick?
I'm not sure of all the details.
Okay.
It was just,
students, just pray for the students.
Just that one. It's just one.
Okay. Okay. That student's at Fairview. Okay, student. Anyone else? You know, let's come down. Let's do that. Lionel, I think, had you charged to come down last week, and let's see if you'd like to come down to the altar. We'll pray for these people this morning down here. Those of you that will join me down here, if you would, please. If you can't, that's all right. But if you can join me, please come down. You know, I look down here this morning and I see the carpet down here around this altar. It's not been used hardly at all. So let's wear it out. Let's wear it out. Start off. if anybody would like to pray with you, pray with me as I pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we come, Lord, asking a blessing upon our church. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you be with us today in our service today. We pray with Pastor Ed as he comes before us, Lord. But Lord, as we have gathered here together, Lord, and we come down here together, Lord, in one accord, and we come down here, Lord, asking you to bless us. But then, Lord, we have those specifically in mind, Lord, that we want to lift before you today. We continue to pray for Jay Julius. We pray for Betty Davis. We pray for our youth pastor search committee, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for our church as a whole as we continue to grow here, Lord. We ask your blessings upon us, Lord. We pray for Nell Jacqueline, who has mentioned, Lord, that she loves the church. For Miss Marie, we pray for her today, Lord, and the student at Fairfield. All these blessings, Lord, and all these needs, you know all about them, Lord, and you know what their specific needs are. And Lord, we ask you to be with us today and be with us those needs and ask to be your will, Lord, that you would fit a blessing to their hearts and life. Bless Barbie's group, we pray, Lord, as we go forward. And these blessings I pray, Lord, in your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I just want to remind you, don't feel bad if you couldn't come down here and kneel. Not all of us, and I have a problem with that too. When I get down, is getting up, and I think that's a problem. But the fact is that you prayed back there, and I know you did. And that's what we need to do. We need to be a praying church. Keep praying, because that's going to be the answer. And I thank God for the way I feel. I think what's coming, things are beginning to change. And I love it. I love that indeed. All right. We got a song of praise we want to do now, Lord, with you. And this song that we're about to do is, I just changed my heart, oh Lord. And I think that's what we all going to need. We all need to have to change our heart for attitudes. And we also need to be able to say, Lord, you've given us a heart transplant. We're going to go forward. As we stand and sing this morning, change my heart, oh God. I love this Potter.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I my heart, oh God,
change my heart.
Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Come change my heart.
May I be like you. You are the change my heart, oh God.
Hey, but while you're standing, reach over and shake the hand of your neighbor and just tell them they're looking as good as they possibly can. Will you do that? Say good morning.
That's a beautiful prayer to pray. Make me like you, Lord. And I'm willing for you to change my heart. Sometimes changing our heart starts with changing our mind. Because Romans 12 talks about, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at characteristics of the New Testament church. Several weeks ago, we started with the New Testament church was built and founded upon the Word of God. And then we looked at the New Testament church was a place where they were filled with and active in the prayer life. You remember Scripture says, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and prayer. And then last week we looked about the New Testament church where the cross was vital. The blood that was shed on the cross was a vital part of what they believed. Now today we're going to look at what is probably the most controversial aspect of the New Testament church. And Christians are all over the gamut of thought about this particular thought or this particular idea. And if when I get done, you don't agree with me, I won't be angry with you, and I hope you won't be angry with me. Let's just vow to keep studying the Bible with an open mind, an open heart, led by the Holy Spirit to God's truth. And that's the thought, the characteristic is this. The New Testament church was baptized, filled, led, anointed, directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the driving force in the life of the church. You remember Jesus told the disciples, you go and wait until the Holy Spirit has come. They didn't really know what they were waiting on. But Jesus said, you go and wait. And then once the Holy Spirit came on them, and we're going to look at those scriptures in a few moments, then their lives were radically changed. They preached the Word of God with boldness. Let me ask you a question. How much of what you are doing personally as a Christian could you do without the Holy Spirit? How much of what we're doing as a church would you still go on without the Holy Spirit? When I was in seminary, it was a common thing to hear said that if the Holy Spirit just went back to heaven, 75% of Southern Baptist work would keep going on. And I've heard that even a greater percentage is by Christian leaders since I was in seminary all those years ago. A lot of what we do is not directed by the Holy Spirit and it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're just having church. And I think this is the area that we're most unlike the New Testament church. Now, we're going to first look at Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And then we'll go on from there. As we talk about the place of the Holy Spirit in the life of the New Testament church. Matthew 3, beginning at verse 13, says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Isn't it interesting? Jesus was a virgin-born Son of God, and yet came a point when he was baptized that the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And as far as we know, there was never a miracle that Jesus did before that time. Now, I know in some of the fancy apocryphal books, they talk about Jesus making a little bird. And I forgot whether it was he carved it out of wood or he made it out of clay and he threw it up and it flew when he was 6 years old or something. Didn't happen. The Bible says when he changed the water into wine at the wedding at Cana, this was the first miracle of Jesus. All right, turn with me now over to the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. And verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus preached and told the people there's coming a day when a powerful force, the Holy Spirit, will be upon you, and it'll be like you flow in rivers of living water. Now, around here, you know how it is. You can see some of these farm ponds at certain part of the year. They're covered in pollen and algae, and it is dead. And you think, man, I'd hate to have to drink out of that. And yet you can go up in the mountains and in other places, and you can see streams of water that are flowing clear and pure. You say, I wouldn't mind, if I had to, take a drink out of that stream. Jesus said there's a living water, not a stagnant, dead pool that's going to be in your life. Now, I go on over to John 14. John 14. And we'll start with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he that dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He says, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're going to have a comforter, somebody to come alongside you, a friend. an encourager. And he's going to abide with you forever. He goes on to say in verse 26 of 14, but when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is going to be a teacher, and he's going to remind us of all that Jesus did. How do you think those disciples put together Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The Holy Spirit reminding them. Oh, remember when Jesus said this? Remember when Jesus did this? Remember when this happened? You remember when that happened? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's still our teacher. We read the scripture, and I think all of you, if you read the scripture much and you have a heart for God, you've read a scripture and you think, I never saw that. They put that verse in there since the last time I read the Bible. Suddenly the Holy Spirit brings a verse to life, helps you to understand it or helps you apply it to your life. The Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. Verse chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He says the Holy Spirit is going to talk about Jesus. He's going to lift up Jesus. He's going to honor Jesus. He's going to help us to have a greater relationship with Jesus. And then chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I give to my Father, and you see me not, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many yet things, many say to you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to convict. He's going to guide us. He's going to glorify Jesus. He's going to reveal truth to us. He said the Holy Spirit has a tremendous work in our life. And all of this are things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit as he prepared the disciples for the moment. Now going over to Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus told them, you go and wait. Now, at one point, you think about a couple of things. One, they could have still been scared that those same people that put Jesus to death were coming after them. Most of the time, they were in a locked upper room. Also, at the same time, they had had a commission from Jesus to go out and witness to the lost. And they knew all the people that didn't know Jesus, and they had an itch to get out there and do it. But Jesus says, you don't do anything till the power of the Holy Spirit's on you. And verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said the power of God will come on your life when the Holy Spirit comes, and then you will have a powerful witness to the lost world. So you know the story. Acts 2. The day of Pentecost, verse 1. when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here's where one of the points between various groups. Did you notice over there in Acts 1:5, Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's some folks that say, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The other people say that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Technically, it should be the same thing. And I'm not going to fuss with you over which term you use, personally. Now, you pick out your favorite and you'd be satisfied with it. But Jesus used, well, it used one here and another one. He used filled in one place, baptized in the other. But the point is, they experienced something fantastic. The Holy Spirit came upon them in a powerful, powerful way. And that made all the difference in the world. Now here's where you start getting all kind of divisions. Turn with me to Romans 8. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Very plainly, he says, if the Holy Spirit doesn't live within you, you're not saved. An evidence of your salvation is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But how much of the Holy Spirit is in your life? You just got enough for salvation? Or are you truly filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit? There are folks that I will use the word cessationist. They believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer necessary. They believe you get this little, I'll say this little dab that saves you, and that's all that there is. That day of miracles died. There are no more miracles. That whenever the last apostle died or when the Bible as we now have it was put together, that was the end of miracles. And it's just not so. If you really know your church history, miracles have continued all the way from then till now. Now, there's been a lot of dead church, unbelieving church, lack of faith church where there were no miracles. But where people believed, miracles still happened. And folks that say that there were no miracles don't know church history. Now, I don't start a fight with them. I just realize they've never studied church history. Other folks believe you can be saved but not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's true. Go with me back to Acts 8. You getting your Bible worn out? Acts 8, verse 5. You know, there was a persecution of the church because of Paul. Stephen was stoned. The disciples scattered. Not the disciples, but a lot of Christians. And Acts 8, verse 5 says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Great joy in that city. And then verse 12. But when they that believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip goes as a deacon, as a layman, he begins to preach. People are saved and they're baptized. But go back to verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. They were saved. The Bible says they were saved. Ed Louder didn't say whether they were saved. The Bible says they were saved. They believed. But they didn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit and believed. It's also interesting, if you go back to Acts 4, verse 29. Acts 4, verse 29. I'll find it in a minute. Sometimes my fat little fingers just don't want to divide the pages. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. Now think about that for a minute. The same folks that were filled on the day of Pentecost got filled again. They got filled again. I don't think they got empty. I just think that God gave them a new infusion of his presence. A lot of the time, when we talk about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, we get talking about speaking in tongues. And that divides churches, that divides families. And there's a lot of different perspectives. There are those who believe that tongues today are of the devil and want nothing to do with it. I was in a group of preachers not long ago, and they were saying it's all gibberish. It's not gibberish. I know a lady that if I showed up in her town, I could go in and spend the night with her and her husband. On one occasion, she was praying with a lady, and she spoke in tongues, and it was Korean, because there was an interpreter there trying to make contact between my friend. And another case, this same lady and another friend were praying in tongues. And when they got done, the guy they were praying for said, "You know, I've never heard Southern ladies speak such perfect Hebrew." There are those that believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. Now, a lot of folks in this room would be real upset if you get to heaven and the Lord says, "Did you speak in tongues?" You say, "Well, I know I didn't." And now, I don't agree with them, but there are folks that believe that. There are folks that believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit is evidence by speaking in tongues. And then there are another group, even Pentecostal, they believe that you can be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit and choose to speak in tongues or not speak in tongues. So you get all kinds of different thoughts here. Now, I won't even get into that, but I personally, and you know what I've written in the newsletters in recent months, cannot believe that the day of miracles is over. In Gospel of John, Jesus says, "The works that I do and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father." Jesus said, "You're going to do greater works." And on the day of Pentecost, if you go back to Acts 2, and Peter's preaching, verse 39 of Acts 2, "For the promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He said, God gave this promise to all of you. All of you. Even those who are far off. Well, now, we're far off. We're a long way from Jerusalem and 2,000 years down the road. We're far off. And nowhere do I see that the day of miracles, did Jesus ever say, on such and such a day, it'll end? Now, if you want to believe that, that's your decision. It's not my decision. Now, let me illustrate what's in my mind, and I think you'll get it. Down in Florida, in Daytona, they've got this awesome racetrack. Was it 2.5 miles around the Daytona track? Now, suppose you go down there and the guy pulls up in his go-kart. I mean, he's got an engine in it. It'll get him all the way around the track. And then another guy pulls up with one of those NASCAR automobiles that'll run 200 miles an hour because it's got an engine with how many hundred horsepower, 600, 700 horsepower. Well, my idea is this. Most of the Christians I know are driving go-karts. They're going to get to heaven. But Jesus said you could be driving a NASCAR automobile. And my suspicion is this. If you go down there for a NASCAR race, there's thousands that show up in the stands. How many people do you think would show up to watch a 500-mile go-kart race? Not many. And that's why a lot of folks aren't attracted to our churches. They don't see the power of God. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. No doubt about it. We love Jesus. But we have not come to the place where we said, "Lord, just fill me with your presence. I want some things to happen in my life and through my life that only can be explained by the power of God in my life. I want my life to be so powerful that I touch people and they know they've been touched by the presence of the Lord."
And it can be in holy living. It can be in powerful testimony. It can be in supernatural teaching. It can be in a lot of areas. It can be in laying hands on sick and people getting well. But whatever. And we can be satisfied to be go-kart Christians. But Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the other part of the world. And you have to decide for yourself, how much of the Holy Spirit do I want in my life? How much am I willing to yield? How completely am I willing to surrender? How open am I to Him touching my life and doing something through me? And you don't have to agree with me. It's your decision. But in my life, I want all of the Holy Spirit the Lord can give me. I want to be as full as I can be. I want things to happen in my life that only can be explained by the Holy Spirit. And I won't get into it, but there are some things that have happened. There's some people I've prayed for. There's some people that Pamela prayed for. I'll just give you one example from Pamela's life. North Carolina Baptists used to have what we call lay witness, and they go around on weekends and teaching people how to witness for Jesus. In one case, Pamela was on the team, and they were up around Burlington, and she met a man and his wife, and the man was going to seminary. He was blind. I mean, he said he had big old Coke bottle glasses, had a magnifying glass hanging on a rope around his neck. His wife had to read the lessons to him, had to drive him anywhere he went. Pamela prayed for him. 4, 5, 6 weeks later, she got a letter from him. He had his driver's license. He went on to become a pastor and then a Southern Baptist evangelist, not famous like Billy Graham, but an evangelist. When he died, our state paper, the Biblical Recorder, talked about the miracle healing, and they don't know a thing about it. They just said, you know, he was miraculously healed. God still likes to show off. God still likes to show off. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Jesus did miracles in the past, He wants to do them now. Your choice. How full of the Holy Spirit do you want to be? How full of the Holy Spirit do you want to be? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? In a moment, we'll be singing a hymn of invitation. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, pray over what I've preached, you can do so. If you want to come and have me pray for you, you can do so. You may need to go home and spend some time this afternoon looking at those scriptures all over again and asking the Lord, how much of the power of God is exhibited in my life? And I pray that you'll have the audacity to say, Lord, fill me, fill me, fill me. And I pray that you will pray for Barbers Grove Baptist Church, that the Spirit of God would be so evident here that people would recognize His presence. That we need not be a 75% church without the Holy Spirit. That we'd be totally yielded, directed, empowered, like the New Testament church. Father God, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have the invitation, if there's somebody that needs to receive Christ, somebody that needs to come to the altar, some other decisions you need to make, we invite you to come.
As we stand, please.
Serious business. And as I say, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I'm not angry with you. But let's study the Word of God and see what it says. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Now may the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.